You know, I was thinking about it. I have been to some of the greatest churches in America. I have been to T.D. Jakes' church in Houston, I think it is.
Dallas.
Do you know that when you go to his church, you park like way far away from the church and get on a bus and they drop you off at the carport? I thought, where are we going? Well, we're going to this church. I said, where's this church? You can't see it from here. And when we got in there and it was 10,000 seats, it was an amazing experience. Creflo Dollar's Dome down in Atlanta. I've been there. I've heard some of the greatest preachers all across America. And I'll tell you, I've learned something about the church dynamic atmosphere. People get excited, you know, when you start preaching. You could talk about how good God is. You could talk about how good God is in the morning when I get out of bed. You could talk about how good is God is all day long. And at noontime, God's still good. Doesn't matter if everybody around you been bad, but God is still good. And his goodness is always present. Then in the afternoon, God is still good. Never changes. He never falters. And at night, God is good. And when I lay my head down on my pillow at night, God is good. See, I've been to church. We can amen that and all that. And I've heard some of the greatest preaching, and I've said so many amens. And you know what the Holy Spirit told me this week? Too many amens in church. I said, now, God, that is weird. We want people to amen, to agree with the Word of God. You know what I found out? 96% of people that attend church agree the Word of God, or the Bible is the Word of God. That's an amazing figure. That means 96, only 4% don't agree this is God's word. Isn't that powerful? But then I heard another statistic. Only 4 to 6% tithe. Okay, let me figure this out. So 96% say, amen, that's the word of God. And only 4 to 6% actually do the amen. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm preaching good now. Come on, church. Let me talk to you a little bit today about how important it is for us to understand that the Word of God, while we may agree with it, takes more than mental assent. Look at your neighbor and say, more than mental assent. Now, what do I mean by that? An amen. Because that's what an amen means. You agree. You approve. You confirm it's right. You say, yeah, that's proper. Yes, that is good. Yes, I believe in that. But yet there's no substance to it that initiates change. I believe what America's looking for, what this generation is looking for, is the reality of the fact that not only do we amen it, we live what we amen. For example, let me say this. How many here today believe in the power of prayer? I'm setting you up. You know that. I'm setting you up. You know that. If we believe in the power of prayer, two or three agree, touching anything, we know it shall be done. Then George Barna's latest statistic says that Christians pray less than 10 minutes a week. Well, not us, that's them other folk. Because we pray. But you see what I'm talking about? There is this disparity between what we say we agree with and what we actually do. And in order for us to understand covenant, we've got to understand what faith is. Faith is more than just mental assent or I agree that that's what we ought to do. See, we've been talking about transformational giving. And transformational giving, ladies and gentlemen, is the investment of something that you have, releasing it in the earth and causing the kingdom to manifest that prior to the release of that which you had would not have existed. That's transformational giving. It's more than just the kind of giving we've been used to in church where you have to be motivated solically or someone has to promise you something that's not true or somehow you feel good about yourself because you're standing up front because you gave more than everybody else. And now you're feeling like you can, you know, strut a little bit and spread your wings and say, I'm in the $1,000 line. And it makes you feel better about yourself. But see, God's saying, look, if we're going to transform a nation, if we're going to create an awareness of God's presence in this time, we're going to have to realize that giving is not just relegated to money. If I have an argument, if I have a confrontation with someone, if I hurt somebody's feelings or they hurt mine, if I've been betrayed, if I've been lied about, and there is a breach between us, and now I have a need to release forgiveness to you, until I give that to you, I cannot manifest the kingdom in our relationship. If I withhold it from you because I don't believe you deserve it, or because until you say you're sorry, or you do penance, or you prove to me that you understand how you hurt me, if I qualify my forgiveness, then until I'm able to release it, the kingdom does not manifest. But watch this. When I'm quick to forgive, when I really believe what Jesus said, his first word on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was a word from the Lord. So when I release forgiveness, all of a sudden I've manifested the kingdom of God. But until I released it, you could not see reconciliation. You could not see unity. You could not see love. You could not see us walking together. Because the kingdom will not manifest and it will not transform until there's an investment by faith. So this is what we've been talking about. That's why God spoke to Israel coming out of Egypt. Go to your neighbor, get all the gold and silver and earrings and the bracelets and all that stuff and necklaces, and your neighbors will give it to you. They got to the wilderness and God said, okay, give it to me. I want you to build me a tabernacle. He used the very thing. He put it in their hand so that if they had a willing heart, and that's the real key, a willing heart to release it, it then manifested the very presence of God on the earth. And until they released it, do you hear me? Until they released it, there would be no cloud, there would be no fire. Do you follow me? Until they released it, there would be no tabernacle. So what is God wanting us to release? Where are the people of God in regards to our thinking about giving? Now, I want to share with you this morning some thoughts about living in mental assent only. Living in mental assent only. Habakkuk chapter 2, if you could put that up on the screen, verse 4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. Read that last part with me. But the just shall by his faith. Now, we read in the Word of God that we live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Did you know believing is an action word? Do you know that there has to be corresponding action to what you believe in order for it to be translated into faith? That's why 96% of the church believes this is the Word of God. They have a mental assent. But until they translate that into action, until they release forgiveness, until they hate no more, until they stop judging, you understand what I'm saying? Until we really initiate the Word of God into our life, it's not faith, it's mental assent. So we're not living by faith. Now, Matthew 19, verse 20 to 22. This is the young man's problem. He came to Jesus. He said, look, all these things I've kept from my youth. I've amened every sermon Jesus. I amen every commandment. And Jesus answered his question when he said, what else do I lack? Now, we teach on giving here, and that's okay because that's what it's talking about. But there's a deeper truth here. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfected, if you want to be mature, if you want to walk by faith, if you want to have a relationship with me, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Now, what did he say at the end of that verse? Look at it. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away how? Sorrowful, because he had great possessions. The issue wasn't necessarily about money. What Jesus was disclosing here, and I want you to see this, was this man had a mental assent to the commandments of God. But the fact is, he couldn't get off of agreeing mentally with what God said. He would not do what God said. So thus, it wasn't faith. So Jesus was saying, listen, I know you believe in the commandments, but until you start doing them, this is not working for you. So I want you to go start doing them. And that's where he had issue. And that's where 95 or 6%, George Barna tells us that the church has issue, is the fact that to do what we actually believe or agree with as being the word of God. Habakkuk 2:4 again tells us the just shall live by faith. Did you know that mental assent never produces action? It won't change anything. Agreement with something without corresponding action doesn't change anything. It's sort of like James. James teaches this. If you see a brother and he has need, don't say to him, be well, have a Jesus-filled day, hope Jesus feeds you, and button up because it's cold out there. Jesus said, no. You have to understand, you need to feed him. You need to warm him. You need to care for him. Why is that important? Because it is a demonstration that you're walking by faith. Because you are doing what God told us to do. You're not just amening the preacher. Did you know demons come to church every Sunday? Don't look to your right or left. Not suggesting that at all. But I am saying demons come to church every Sunday. And did you know some of the best amens come from some of the... Demons say amen. They do. How do I know that? Because James said, demons believe and tremble. But did you know that demons believe and tremble still doesn't save them from the judgment of hell? Why? Because they believe and tremble, amen, but they don't do the word. Demons don't do the word. If they did the word, they wouldn't be a demon. Okay, are you following my logic here? I know that you want something deep, but let's just get out of first grade first. Let's get this down, okay? And then we'll get something deep some other Sunday. That's James chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. And that's what we're talking about there. But it is self-deceiving to claim to believe without corresponding action. It's a deception. It's self-deceiving. Because we actually we're living it out because we believe it. But there's no corresponding action to prove it. That's why James said in chapter 2, verse 14. Do you have it up there? Yeah. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can faith save him? Now, I know I'm going to mess with your theology. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, verse 16. Just keep on going. And one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, what is it? I don't know about you, but I do not like dead faith. I don't like anything dead. I have respect for departed loved ones, but I'm sorry, I disagree with y'all when you're at funeral homes and you're standing there and you go, wow, she looks pretty good. No, she doesn't. She looks dead. Ugh. Dead is dead. Right? And we're trying to make it up, dress it up, fix it up, talk it up. But look, it's dead. Same thing in church. Without works, our faith is dead. He said, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. By my works. So we have got to begin to initiate what we agree with and begin to instill in our hearts what we agree with. I mentioned earlier about Adolf Hitler. How could he deceive millions of people into believing that some people weren't human? They got fingers like you got fingers. They got arms like you got arms. They breathe like you got. You know what I'm talking about? And you say, but they're not human. What do you mean they're not human? Someone gave me a picture this morning of a 20-week-old baby that had been aborted. And pro-life activists stole a part of the body from an abortuary and got the arm of the child. I'm just making a point. And the front of the cover says, whoever is for life, raise your hand. And when you open the flap, the hand of the 20-week-year-old baby that had been disjointed from its body is raised. Did you know that our children are taught it is not human? Do you understand that? The deception. They really believe it. Because if they believed that it was a real human being, 99% of the people would never take that life. They just wouldn't do it. But we have been deceived. Self-deception. About our conduct. About how we treat one another. About how we can categorize certain people and put them in a slot that says it's all right to treat them that way because. Do you follow what I'm saying? I know this isn't happy preaching. Maybe it'll get happier. But I want us to have an awareness here this morning that life is not that good as we project that it is. It's not. We have to stop faking ourselves out. I'm talking to me. I got to stop faking myself out. Because I believe God, or I believe in God, or I believe a Bible, or I say amen to a sermon, that now I am walking by faith? Now, simply agreeing that God exists or the Bible is true is not real Bible faith. False faith, it's sort of like this. Have you ever come up on a roadway where there's a sign that says men at work? It should say man at work, because there's usually 10 guys standing around looking at the one guy working. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm not trying to slam construction workers. I'm just telling you, have you ever had that experience? That's what Christianity is without faith. We really believe we're at work. We got the helmet on. We got the vest on. We got the tools out. We're standing on the job. And watch this. On Friday, what are we looking for? Paycheck. And I remember as a foreman years ago, I would distribute our paychecks to the men that were on my crew. First thing they asked for on Friday morning was the white envelope with their name on it. And if I walked into that crew room and didn't have the stack of envelopes, there was no other discussion about anything we were going to do that day until we knew I got my paycheck. And there was a time or two when I had to say, look, we got some problems at payroll. They didn't deliver the checks. They'd interrupt me and say, no, don't even tell me I don't have my paycheck. In other words, they weren't about to go back to work unless they got their check. That's kind of like a lot of Christians. We get dressed up. We show up. We act like we're on the job, but in reality, we're not walking by faith, but payday comes. We're ready to go to God and bust the door down. Why don't you heal my body? Why don't you save my children? Why don't you move in this city? Why don't you create this for me? Where's my new car? Where's my new house? God, you better give me what you said in your word. And God said, wait a minute, wait. You got to walk by faith. There's no corresponding action. You never got your shovel dirty. You and I have got to work the word. We have to work the word. We live by faith. We live by faith. I don't live by Cheerios. I don't live by HBO. I don't live by CNN. I live by faith. Come on, tell somebody, I live by faith. Tell them I live by faith. And I don't walk by sight. You see, you and I have got to believe that I believe what the Bible says, every word of it. And I'll initiate it. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. If you could put it on the screen for me. For indeed, the gospel. Now, I want all of you here, you're going to be us. Okay? Just say us. Okay. You all are going to be them. Say them. Okay, you're in the same room. Us and watch. For indeed the gospel was preached to
us.
All right? As well as to
them.
Okay, same word, same sermon, same gospel. So the gospel was preached to who?
Us.
As well as to but the word which they heard did not profit who?
Yeah.
So evidently, it profited us, but it didn't profit.
Yeah.
I know you didn't want to be them. I know that. I'm sorry. It just works. You got to work with me. So it didn't profit them, but it did profit us. Why did it profit us and not profit? They did not mix it what? In those who heard it. God is no respecter of persons. He's not going to bless you because you got, you know, pretty hair and you got a pretty face and you come to church more and you don't. His word works, whether you're pretty or not so pretty, right? Whether you're male or female, whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. His word works for those who work his. So the them in the church are those that have mixed the word with faith, and the us are those that heard the very same word but never mixed it with faith, and they're not living in the realm of profit. You follow what I'm saying? Go to Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 12. Let me break this down a little bit more for you. Okay? Let me break it down a little bit more. Zechariah said this in chapter 8, verse 12. For the seed, I want all of you over, now let's switch. You all over here be the seed. Say, seed. Okay. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit, and you all be the ground. Say, ground.
Ground.
So we have two elements here. We have the And we have the... Now notice what Zechariah is saying. The seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give its fruit. The ground shall give her increase. And the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these. If you keep... Which one were you with the seed? Okay. Sorry. If you keep the seed apart from the ground, you'll not see the increase. Because the seed has fruit in it, but the ground has increase in it. And not until the seed is released into the ground, not until the potential for fruitfulness is released into the increase, will you see a harvest. So therefore, faith without works is no harvest. In other words, if I don't mix the word with faith, I can't walk in profit. My marriage won't be profitable. My children won't be profitable. My business won't be profitable. There may be a season, but ultimately, I'm going to see that it's not going to work. So what do? We need to evaluate ourselves this morning. I'm going to give you three quick things. Three, that's all, just three. Quick indicators as to whether or not you are walking by faith. All right? Now, why am I teaching this? Because we need to learn to give transformationally in this city. We need to see people that understand that there is a higher law. We need to create the kingdom of God in this region that previously has not existed. That includes finances, cash, but it also includes acts of kindness and love. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Bible says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Now, the other day, we were at the grocery store, and I'm a kind person. I don't want you to think I'm not. I am. But there are times faith isn't convenient. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that experience? You know, I don't understand people. I'll say, hey, you want to come out and help us at the Love Center, pass out some food to the hungry? They'll say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I'll have to pray about it. I said, what you got to pray about it for? Jesus said to feed the hungry. Just tell them you don't want to. I'd rather you be honest instead of being spiritually deceptive. I'm going to pray and see what God says. Well, I know what he says. He said, do it. I've heard in the 34 years of ministry, I've heard so many good excuses. I should write a book, Christian Excuses. It'd probably be a bestseller in churches. But the point is, faith is not always convenient. There are times I've got other things I need to do besides pass out a bag of groceries. Besides, anybody could do that. I'm the pastor. I need to be in the Word. Okay, rewind. I'm a Christian, then I'm a pastor. And Christians feed hungry. Do you follow what I'm saying? So I'm at the grocery store the other day, and we're always in a hurry. Okay, we got to go grocery shopping. Usually we try to do it on Monday. And I'm usually tired from the weekend and the long week. And my wife always asks, well, do you want to go to the grocery store? I'm like, sure. Yeah, I want to go. As long as we don't stop anywhere else. Don't even trick me that we're going to go groceries. And now you're going to stop here. And then we're going to stop here. And you got one more place to stop. Don't do that to me today. I'm going to tell you right now. We know how you ladies work. Can I get an amen from the man? Whoop. I felt that one. So we're in a grocery store. You know, we work the system. We work the system because there's always few checkout people. And there's always everybody seems like to be checking out when you're checking out. And everybody's got big grocery carts full of stuff. And just before you get there, they pull it in front of you. It's like, oh, man. So I'm behind this lady. She's got like two carts or something. And the one in front of her has got stuff all over the belt. And it looked like the kid that was trying to check him out didn't know what he was doing. He was having problems. The manager was coming over. And I'm standing there going, and Tina was like, you get in line. I'll go get the eggs. I'll get this other thing I missed. And I'll meet you at the checkout. I said, okay, got it. Ready, go. Shaw, tube, team. And we're ready to roll. And so I pull up, and the lady behind me steps up. and she has two things in her hand, one in one hand and one in the other. And she looked up at me like a little puppy, and she's like, and I looked at her two things, and God said, you know, prefer one another, honor one another. I said, I don't know this woman. She doesn't come to my church. I don't know who she is. She may be a devil worshiper for all I know. She could be a lesbian. She could be a prostitute. I don't know. Come on, God. This is Monday. I'm off today. I mean, you know, just dumb things in your mind. You know, just dumb things. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And that happened in a millisecond. He said, let her go first. And I said, ma'am, see, faith is not always easy. But the just shall live by faith. And faith is corresponding action to the word, which says to prefer and honor one another. It didn't say one another in your church, or one another in your family, or one another in your race, or one another in your economic strata, or one another in your whatever. It just said one another. I said, God, it'd been easier if you'd have qualified who's the one another. But I got a feeling it's whosoever. So I said, ma'am, would you like to go in front of me? And she said, no, that's okay. And I said, okay. I said, I feel you. That's all right. I'm a busy man. I got to get going through here. And I didn't say that, but I wanted to. I felt like I was off the hook because she said no. But she was trying to be kind to me. She goes, no, really. You got. I said, no, really, ma'am. Listen, I've been where you are, and I know what it's like to come up to a thing with two things in your hand and just go on up front. And then as she did that, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, am I supposed to pay for those things? And he didn't say yes. I said, well, thank you, Jesus. I'm just getting too spiritual here in this grocery store. It's just a joke. I'd have paid for it if God said to pay for it. So she got in front of me. And I was living by faith. Do you follow what I'm saying? Walking by faith is not always believing for a healing. Walking by faith is not always standing on God for a ministry door to open for you. It's for you to honor somebody you don't even know because Jesus said it. So we're beginning to understand the three corresponding actions. Number one is actions that we take. Something performed. God came to Abraham one day in Genesis 12. He said, hey, Abraham, leave your family, leave your country, leave everything that's familiar to you, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. And Abraham said, you know, we need to talk about this. Let me call the elders of the church. We got to see if this is God. I need to check my Bible out, if this is scripture. You know, he didn't do any of that. He got up the next morning and he left. He packed his donkeys. He packed his camels. He got all his possessions and his family and said, guess what? We're leaving. What do you mean we're leaving? Where are you going? I have no idea. But God just told me to leave, so I am leaving. It was corresponding action. In Genesis 22, God said to Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, go up to the mount, and I want you to sacrifice him there. I want you to commit him to me. I want you to sacrifice him to me. And Abraham said, God, wait a minute, you're a God. That's Moloch. That's not Jehovah. You can't do that. I can't kill my son. What are you talking about? That's my only son. He didn't do that. Next morning, he got up. He said, son, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. Come on, let's go. He left the servants. He said, we'll be back. He knew something in his spirit about what God was asking him to do. He knew that this was more about a faith test, a faith walk, than it was the actual initiation of what God had actually led him to. Do you understand? Sometimes we're in a test. Sometimes God is wanting to reveal to us what's in our hearts. Sometimes you go through trouble and you go through conflict and you go through rejection, and it's more about you than it is that person. How you responded to them, how you acted out when they did that, that God's trying to reveal. So Abraham goes to the mountain. He's about to slay his son, and God says, stop. And he gives him the sacrifice, a lamb that was caught in a thicket. But he did not hesitate. He had corresponding action to what God said. Church, what Florida needs today in this travesty of this death of this young boy is it needs corresponding action. We've got a lot of church talk. We've got a lot of rhetoric. We've got a lot of opinions. But what we need is some more faith to be initiated in the hearts of God's people, that we can demonstrate the true love of God and the true forgiveness of God and show a nation that there is another way. There's another kingdom, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Christ and of his Lord. There is a season of change. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. God said, "You're going to rob God? What do you mean you robbed me? How have we robbed you?" He said, "In tithes and offerings." Now, isn't that amazing? 96% of the people agree that this is the Bible, and only 4 to 6% actually tithe. You say, "Well, it's Old Testament. That's why I don't do it." Okay, are you that illiterate? I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you mad. And I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. Are you that uninformed? Is that worse? All right, foot in mouth. Stop. I'm sorry. Okay, you don't know. Bible says in Matthew chapter 23, Pharisees did this, they tied that, and they tied this, and Jesus said, and they should have done that. He goes on to say, next verse, "You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation." Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. "That there be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I have not opened for you the windows of heaven, pour out you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Amen. Too many of those. I'd rather it be quiet so you can hear the church mouse squeak and us do it than shout me down when I preach it and never do it. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right, can you handle two more? I'm almost done. The second one. Your utterances. You know you're walking by faith by your actions. You know you're walking by faith how you talk. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. No? Yes? Glitch in the computer. There it is. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak." My words have to line up with what I believe. Do you follow that? My words line up with what I believe. If my words are out of sync with what I assent to, it's not faith. Our utterance is imperative, how we speak, what our actions are on a daily basis. Number three. Our obedience. Our practice of obeying God. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. Samuel said, "Has the Lord..." "...as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To heed than the fat of rams." In the world, I can be justified to spit in your face for the way you treat me. But as a Christian, I cannot and will not, because I walk by faith. And God said to bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you. There is the sentiment in the church that we've adopted the same mentality of the world. Let me tell you what I think. No, no, if it's not what God thinks, keep your mouth shut. We have this sentiment in the church where people now are just, got to give them a piece of my mind. Your mind ain't worth 2 cents. I'm sorry. I only want the mind of Christ. You follow what I'm saying? We have allowed that to take place because we believe we have a right. Well, you can, but you're not walking by faith. You're not walking by faith. Hebrews 10:23 talks about not throwing away our confidence that has great reward. Not throwing away our confidence that has great reward. See, we got to get from the level of confession to profession. Because confession is acknowledging a thing. Yes, I acknowledge that God wants to heal me. Yeah, I acknowledge God wants to bless me. I acknowledge God wants to raise up my children as a godly seed. But profession is the act of openly declaring as public, claiming and believing. It's an act of openly claiming. It's an act of publicly declaring that this is for me. See, in other words, I'm not just going to believe that my children are going to be raised up as a believer. I'm going to read the Bible to them at home. I'm going to pray with them. We're going to worship together because it's more than a confession. It's a profession. I'm going to close with this quick story. I got a call recently, and you know, I've been to just about every major conference in America over the years. I've been with most preachers that you would know and identify in their conferences, and I've been on their boards or I've served on their committees. I've done that. I've been there, and it's like, okay, that's cool. But I believe God is really doing a new thing. It's all about his people and how he wants to save a soul. And so I got this call, and this pastor said, hey, would you like to come to a pastor's meeting this past Thursday? Because Joel Osteen is coming to Cleveland on July 13th. He was here in 2007, and they want to know if pastors can support it. And I went, oh, okay. Well, Joel's a great guy, and he's America's pastor, and I love what he says, and it's a wonderful thing. But I don't know if I want to do that again. I've kind of been there, done that. I said, all right, I'll go. So I showed up, downtown Cleveland at the Hyatt. I walk in, and I look around, and I can't find anybody. I said to the guy who brought me, I said, where's all the pastors? He goes, we're it. I said, what? He goes, there's only 3 of us. Okay, this is different. Why is there only 3? He said, because Joel Osteen asked for me to find 3 pastors in Cleveland that I knew that I could trust with souls. And I went, oh, ooh, that's me and 2 other pastors. So we sit down. Joel wasn't there, but his lead man, Wendell Burton, was there. They began talking about this conference coming up. And they said every time Joel gives an altar call, because most people that watch him are unsaved, they come to hear him. Because they like what he says. He has an altar call. 6,000 to 7,000 people get saved. And he has to put them in churches. But he doesn't want to just refer them to anybody. So he pre-approves, of which here's the application you can fill out. And if you're accepted, you could be a sponsoring pastor. And I'm sitting there going, I like it. I like this. This is good. And here's what we'll do. We can guarantee you that hundreds will come to your church because I will endorse you personally on my website. I will send you endorsement videos. I will put it on the conference screens during the conference night of hope. It'll be in the bulletin. We'll send a letter out to every person that attends telling them to go over to Louis Kayaton's house and have chicken dinner there. And we're going to endorse you. I said, oh, okay. So I called a pastor who did this in Cincinnati. His name was Marcus Meekum. I said, Marcus, I talked about him. I didn't talk to him personally. And it was reported to me 500 new families came to his church after that night of hope. I went, wow, that's a lot. Well, let everything be established in the mouths of 2 or 3. So Marty Sloan, I don't know if you knew about that. Marty this is your nephew in Arkansas. He's a pastor there. He did this. And I guess doubled the size of his church. People got saved and doubled the size of the church. And I said, wow, that's kind of like being a fisherman. And I like perch. And somebody calls me and said, I'm going to put 6,000 perch in the lake in front of your house. Go get your fishing rod. Never mind. Man, you know I'm going to be down there putting some worms in there, right? I'm going to catch some fish. Here's the only thing. He said, but I have to tell you, in order for us to do that, it requires a $10,000 gift. And that's what I said. I went, oh, okay. But then he explained it to me. Every Night of Hope loses about $100,000. We do this by faith. We're asking pastors to help us offset the expenses of all the letters to the 15,000 people, putting up the website that refers them to you, helping share the expenses. I went, okay, I'm feeling better about this. This is good. Here's the problem. I don't have $10,000. So I said, Jesus, I would like to do this. But then I remember today was Transformational Gift Sunday. You say, what is that? Well, the last 3 weeks we've been preaching about us giving a special gift offering to the Lord. And just to create the kingdom that has not existed previous. Maybe you're a business owner here and you say, you know what, I'll give $1,000. Tia and I have done that. We're giving $1,000 out of our own pocket toward this. But you may not. You may not want to give towards that. And that's okay. But I present it to you today that if it's God's will, that money will be given. Because let me just give you, let me put it in perspective. I don't know who it was that said, Pastor, we need to rent a billboard up on 480 there by the bridge. So I looked into it. 30 days, guess how much? $10,000. 30 days, $10,000 to put our picture up there and go, no, your picture, our picture. Come to our church, $10,000. 30 days, take it down, and they put up Walmart. Or they put up somebody else. But for this $10,000 seed, that two pastors have already experienced this influx of people, I thought, God, you know what? That's probably good marketing or advertising, if you will, dollars. So I'm just going to lay it before the Lord. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm still going to be supportive of this conference coming up on July 13th. So here's what I like to do. I like to close the service and receive our transformational gift offering. You may want to give to the Joel Osteen thing. You may not. That's all right. Don't feel pressured to do that. You may want to give a special meaningful gift towards helping us create something that does not currently exist. For example, we're about inches away from our negotiations on expanding the sanctuary. That's going to be some expenses. That may be something that you'd want to give toward. It's really up to you. In Gulu, I see Tristan back there. By the way, Tristan and Katie, could you stand up? Everybody look back at them. Say congratulations. They just got engaged. I'm so happy for you. Tristan, I'm so glad we came to the East to start a church. Because you wouldn't have met her. How about that? Say thank you. Okay. Okay. So if you want to give, the offering envelopes are before you. Please, no pressure. Don't feel any stress or pressure from me. But if you believe in what God is doing and the Holy Spirit is speaking in your life about this, I want you to give significant gift this morning. And don't designate it. Just give it. If you want to designate it for Joel Osteen, put J-O on it. Or if you don't. If you want to say not J-O this, that's up to you as well. But we're just going to use it for the kingdom of God. That's where it's going to go. No person will benefit from this individually, so you don't have to worry about that as well. Okay, so are you ready to give? Okay, Father, thank you for the gift this morning. Thank you for the giver. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Bless now, Father, this offering to establish your kingdom in Northeastern Ohio. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you receive that, let me close this service by saying to you, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please don't leave without praying a prayer of forgiveness, praying a prayer of repentance to God and allowing Him to touch you today. I can tell you that the pains of our life are real, and Jesus died for every one of them. I was talking to somebody yesterday. Wasn't that a unique approach by a particular business in the area? She's a worker in this particular company, and she said, when you talk to a client, don't ask them what they want. Try to connect at the point of their pain. I thought, wow, that's a secular industry that's teaching their managers to sit down with people before they do business and connect with the person's pain. I said, God, we need to do that in church. Did you know that Jesus wants to connect with the point of your pain and that he can bring a healing balm to your life? So our prayer is that today you would receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. So with your heads bowed as you're giving, I know this is at the same time, but let me ask this today. You say, hey, Pastor, I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to start over again. I want to live for God. Would you just kindly hold your hand up high enough for me to see it, and then you could put it back down. Anybody in this room this morning, just let me see your hand, and then you could put it back down. Praise God. Altar ministers, would you mind joining me across the front and be ready to receive the people and to pray with them? Hallelujah. Tina, are you guys still going down to Houston or wherever it is? Okay. Anybody hear of Lou Engle before? Lou Engle is leading a prayer revival across America. And he's hosting prayer for abortion, against abortion, on April 5th and 6th. Tina's going to go. My daughter Mary's going to go. If you'd like to go, just call the office. We can give you the arrangements. We have a group rate for hotels at only $119. So four of you would be like $25 a piece or something like that. But you'll have to make your own reservations. And flights are about, what, $300? $370 round trip? Okay, what's the name of it again? There's a new movie out called October's Baby. Are you familiar with it? It's playing right here in Valley View. It's about a child that was going to be aborted and then wasn't, and it tells its life story. So it's a great movie to take your family to and also to expose yourself to. And pray with us that this darkness over our land would be turned back. Amen? Would you do that this week? Okay. Let's stand up to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to surrender your life to Christ, maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe today just a touch from heaven. The old song said, all to Jesus I surrender, I surrender. That's really where the power is. It's in surrender. I surrender. Come on, all to Jesus.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.
I want to encourage you, if you need prayer this morning, we're here for you, and we believe that God has a great plan for your life. Until we see you again, and if by chance we're not here next week, by chance the rapture takes place, look for me on the north side. I'll be waving my hand, and we'll celebrate together. But live right, love everybody. Pray hard. Oh, I have to tell you, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, which is about an hour and 21 minutes from now, Brother Tim, where are you? I think I saw you. There you are. Brother Tim, hold your hand up again. There he is. We'll be hosting Men Talk right here in the sanctuary. And questions, comments, and topics. I don't know what we're talking about. Is there a theme? The hurting church. Wow. And I'm on the panel, so I guess I'll be sitting there taking questions. God help me for answers. That's at 3 o'clock. We're so glad that you're here. Well, love on somebody. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. We're so grateful for your presence and your support.